Hi, I'm Allison Hess.
And I'm Stephanie Graham.
Welcome to the Thousand Islands Playhouse Podcast.
For the 2025 season, we have seven amazing productions taking place in our Springer and Fire Hall theaters.
Join us as we talk to the artists that will make this season shine and get a behind-the-scenes peek at what's happening this summer dockside.
Don't forget to tune in
to give your ears a front row seat.
See you at the theater.
Welcome back to the 2025 season of the Playhouse Podcast. We're recording today on the ancestral lands of the Haudenosaunee and Anishinaabeg peoples, and we are recording on-site at our new rehearsal facility. My name is Stephanie Graham, and I am the Artistic Associate here at the Playhouse.
And I am Allison Hess, the Education and Engagement Manager. Welcome to the third episode of the 2025 season of the Playhouse Podcast. Today, we will be discussing the first of our Fire Hall plays, Cottagers and Indians. An Indigenous man, Arthur Copper, has taken it upon himself to repopulate the nearby lakes with wild rice, known amongst the Anishinaabe as manumen. The seeds bloom into a funny yet fiery exchange between the farmer and a cottage owner, Maureen Poole. Told with warmth and humor, and encompassing issues of community, respect, and ownership, Cottagers and Indians is a tale for our times.
We have in studio with us director of Cottagers and Indians, Kevin John Saylor. Welcome, Kevin.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us. And it's the very first day of rehearsal, too. So thank you for taking the time to come and speak with us.
No problem at all. It's nice to be here on first day of rehearsal and to be doing this.
Kevin, you are a storyteller, actor, director, musical director, and choreographer. You were born and raised in the Mohawk Territory of Ganawage and have worked in Quebec and Ontario, staging shows for the Rialto Theatre, Lakeshore Players, Montreal West Operatic Society, King State Productions, and Royal Theatre Thousand Islands. In 1993, you founded the Turtle Island Theatre and received a Meritorious Service Medal from the Governor General of Canada in 2004 for your work as artistic director. That's amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Thank you. It was a great honor, and it was nice to be acknowledged. And it was just a thrill to be with the Governor General, but also to just so that they recognized that the performing arts are vital and an important thing for all of us to be doing.
I would love to start just by telling us a bit about Turtle Island Theatre. So you established it in 1993. What led to that decision, and how did you come up with the concept? And was there a great need? Is that where?
There was a need. The schools in Ganawage, there's high school, there's elementary school. They don't have much in the way of arts going on. There are some traditional arts. They're not really in the school. They have traditional singers, but for people who just want to express themselves by doing theater or music or dance, they didn't really have that much of an opportunity. So we just saw, along with the principals of the schools, we saw something that was really wanted, really needed, and it fit well into their schedules and well into the things the schools wanted the children to be involved in, because not all children were into sports. Not all children were into, after-school games and things like that, or clubs. But there was just always a group of children who have grown into adults who love the performing arts, whether they go into it as a career or whether they do it for fun. They exist, and there are many, many of them, and they just love it.
I noticed there was a CBC article online that talked about her daughter is now in the program, and she has benefited so much from gaining confidence. It's all those transferable skills that you get
right
in learning theater.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, by doing a show, by being in a show, they're learning how to work together. They're learning how to gain confidence. They're learning how to do public speaking. They're learning how to test their memory. And it seemed to fit all the niches. It seemed to fit all the words that we wanted to about personal development.
Yeah, and speaking of that, on the Facebook page for Turtle Island Theatre, you described the goal for the organization to promote performing arts and provide a venue where children, teens, and adults practice and experience the basic human values of responsibility, caring, pride, respect, trust, acceptance, sharing, and self-esteem. What do you think it is about the performing arts that lends itself to these, as you said, basic human values?
It's funny. I wish every single person in the world can go through a performing arts program, because it helps you develop all these skills for life. They are true life skills. When I first started with one of the schools. It was called a life skills program. And because my background was theater, it quickly evolved into the theater program. But it's truly a life skills program that by doing rather than being lectured at or having a lesson about it, just by doing a play, you're experiencing these things and it just helps them to grow and to become confident people.
I find too, because you know we do a lot of youth programming here as well, it also allows people to put themselves into other people's shoes, right? That sense of empathy. Mm-hmm. And so much of, I think, society right now is so focused on the individual. And whether you're speaking someone else's words or getting into a character that is very different from yourself, or even just trying something else out in your body, what a great way for kids, teens to figure out who they are,
right,
but also for even adults to have that empathy and realize that all of our stories are valid and all of our stories are important.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, learning about each other, learning about different ways of doing things, learning about different thought processes by doing plays, you just naturally start learning, researching, talking about the differences. If your play is set in a different country, what is that like? If your play is set in a different time period, what is that like? And it leads to great discussion and great learning.
I think it's wonderful that you're directing this play because we have two very opposing views of the situation happening. And I think your background in teaching about empathy, and I'm thrilled you're on board for this play.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it's a very interesting play because is there truly a resolution at the end? Not really. And there's not really a resolution to the real life issue that it's describing. So I grew up in a native reserve. I lived there till I was 17. And then I was out in the world for many, many years, and now I'm back there. So I'm getting perspective of different people, learning different ways of thinking about things. And it's amazing. And sometimes it leads to conflict, which is the ultimate in producing a show. So how do we solve this conflict, or how do we discuss this conflict at least? And so all my background of both being there, being away, and being back is very important, I think, to understanding or getting the most you can out of this play.
And you also live in Gananoque as well.
That's right.
You have you and your partner run the Royal Theater. So
correct.
I think that's a really unique perspective too, to have the locals' perspective as well as all of the other perspectives that you bring to the table, but also knowing that the show is happening here in Gananoque,
right,
and knowing the town, I think is a really special thing too.
Yeah, you know, we'll have people from the community of Gananoque who will come to see this and experience it, because it involves us all. We're all, you know, different, but there's a commonality to everyone as a human being, and hopefully everyone can enjoy and learn a little something from watching it.
So Cottagers and Indians is an Indigenous story written by an Indigenous playwright, Drew Hayden Taylor, and it's being produced here at the Thousand Islands Playhouse for a mostly settler audience, right? You know,
right,
locals in Gananoque and people from Kingston and all over. And as a director, does that change how you would present it versus if you were doing it, you know, at Turtle Island Theater or somewhere?
I don't know if it changes it so much as it, the audience that will be seeing it in Gananoque, hopefully will get them to truly think about it and think what are the talks we can have about it? What are the solutions that we may come up with? There are so many issues that go back hundreds of years that have never been resolved. And can they be resolved? There has to be ongoing knowledge of how the native peoples of North America were treated, and they did not go away, even though, you know, governments tried to make them go away as much as they could. They did not. They're alive. They're here. And this was traditionally their land. So what can we do about that? A land acknowledgement, you hear often at the beginning of a play, and that's great. I love it. And then the next question would be, now what can we do about that?
What's the actionable item?
Right, exactly. So hopefully people will think that coming out of this.
You know, speaking of your cast and team, today is the first day of rehearsal.
Mm-hmm.
I know you talked a lot about kind of the context of the play and the history. When you're working with a new team, how do you approach, you know, creating that camaraderie? You know, what do you look at building in the first couple of days?
I mean, the wonderful thing about theater is often it creates lifelong relationships, lifelong friendships. And you hope you know, even if it's years apart that you've seen these people, oh yeah, we were in that together. We got to know each other, and we're still friends, and we can rekindle it in a moment. So getting to know people so you can trust each other working together and know how people work is very important as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody works differently. Every director, every actor works differently. How do we come together and work all together to create something exciting?
Jeremy, who is one of the actors, he's actually done the play before too.
That's
so
right.
Is it kind of a discussion? Are you like, throw that play away, we're going to focus on something new?
No, he did the play 6 years ago and he had a quite different experience. He said it was in a very, very large theater with, mm-hmm. you know, balconies and everything. So, you know, over 1,000 people. So it was a big show. And now we're bringing it to a very intimate space. So it'll be quite a different feel for him. But the questions I will be asking him is, well, what was your experience like? What do you think you learned from that play or learned from doing it? What are the things that you think were so important that you discovered then? And can you bring them back if they were that important? And why were they that important? So things like that to ask him, not to just dismiss what he did, because every experience you can draw something from, but what can we still bring that you think is vital?
Yeah, there is a sort of institutional knowledge that he can carry about the play that could be useful. But yeah, being present with a new director and a new acting partner and
right.
And like you said, in a very intimate space. I love seeing sometimes the same show in different kinds of spaces because mm-hmm. suddenly the play illuminates something new.
Right, exactly. Yeah, so the space really dictates the performance very much.
Well, speaking of the space, so the Fire Hall is our black box theater, so it's about 130 seats. And one of the cool things about it is you can change the audience and the stage setup. Did you consider any different setups? What was your thought process in terms of that?
Because there is so much direct address to the audience, I didn't think it was necessary for the audience to be sitting around the actors mm-hmm. because the actors are already addressing them, clearly addressing the audience. Because sometimes if you have theater with the audience on three or even four sides, there's a reason for that. And that is so that the audience is part of the action, they're part of what's going on, but the actors aren't necessarily speaking to them. So in this case, because they're already speaking to them, I thought just a traditional view, so we can do the utmost with our set and let the actors just bring the audience in through their dialogue rather than, you know, it having to be a surround.
Mm-hmm. As you said, there's a lot of direct address, and I'm really interested and excited to see how that will play in the Fire Hall compared mm-hmm. to, like you were saying, with Jeremy's previous production,
right.
With like 1,000 people,
right.
where, you know, he'll be like right there. And when you're working in a space so intimate in terms of your staging, how do you kind of play with that? Because you don't have so much distance between the actors and the audience in a
right.
space like that.
For myself, I want to make sure that the audience is comfortable and listen and try to acknowledge what's going on and just to think about what the words have to say.
So Cottages and Indians is a comedy, and I've spoken with Drew, the playwright, about his love of using comedy. For you, what is it like in, you know, because these are serious debates and issues mm-hmm. that have been ongoing for hundreds of years. What is it like for you to be working on a play that is using comedy to help tell the story and tell these points of views?
Well, it's wonderful because where I live in Ganawage, or where I direct mostly in Ganawage, the audiences love comedy. They love laughing. Even if it's a serious issue, how can we bring a little bit of humor into it? Because really, laughter makes us feel better, even if we're trying to discuss a serious issue. Where can we find the humor in it? Where can we understand that, you know, can we tell it in a way that helps us to understand? And humor is a wonderful way to help us understand, because we tend to grasp onto that very easily. And audiences may be laughing as they're watching it, and then hopefully go home and think about other things that the play brings up as well.
Mm-hmm. For people visiting the theater, where is a place in Gananoque that you recommend they check out?
The first place I would like them to check out in relation to this play, if they're coming to see it, is the First People's Park, which is a tiny, tiny little piece of land just west of the fire hall.
Yes, that's at the corner of
Stone
and Front Street.
Right, and it's just a little tiny snippet of land that we call the First People's Park that is designated by the town and on maps as the First People's Park. And it's a representation of the first people who use this waterway as their major highway. But also it's a little symbolic of how much land is actually dedicated to the first people here. It's a tiny, tiny, tiny bit of land. But it's a lovely little view. There's a bench you can sit at, contemplate, and watch the water, watch the clouds, watch the stars. We've had some trees planted. We're going to have some sweet grass planted as well. No, this is dedicated to the first people who use this space as their home.
Yeah, and the play, Cottagers and Indians, is set in the Kawarthas, but it's a very similar tale, right?
Right,
that
sure.
takes place here,
yes.
and there, and all, over and over and over again.
Right.
And so I think that's a great idea.
Right.
For people who are visiting, is like, this isn't just a story that happened somewhere else, but it also is the same type of story in terms of water access, in terms
right.
of land, happens here, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah. I mean, other places to visit. You can visit the berm in the park by the water, but the funny thing about the berm is it's a man-made peninsula because where is the shoreline? What happened to the shoreline even here? You know, most of it's a marina. And then the rest of it is a boat museum, and the rest of it is a boat launch, and the rest of it is privately owned. So where is the shoreline?
Right.
So visit the berm and love it. It's lovely. It's beautifully manicured. And think about that though, while you're there.
Yeah. And I know, like, Drew, as well as writing the play, he also worked with CBC and did a documentary
yes.
for them. Entitled Cottagers and Indians, where he talks about the real life situation. And so I encourage people to check that out too. Because,
yes, yeah. very much. It's a wonderful documentary, and it really helps to understand, because the play is based on real life events. It really sets the mood for it and helps you to understand. And then helps you to understand both sides, because while you're watching it, you get angry at the woman, but then you get angry at the man, and then you get angry at the woman and angry at the man, and then you try to understand each side, and it's like, it's very difficult to say who's right and who's wrong. I mean, it's easy to, I guess, to say if you're Indigenous, he's right, and if you're non-Indigenous, she's right, but it's not that simple at all, because we all live here, we all live here together, and but it's an interesting documentary.
Yeah, highly recommend. It's available on YouTube.
Right.
If anyone's looking for it.
Right. Kevin, thank you so much for coming and speaking with us about the work that you've done, your work on this show. I'm really excited to show it to Gananoque, I hope it starts a lot of really great conversations about things that are happening here and the Kawarthas and everywhere. So thank you for taking the time.
Well, thank you for having me today, and I'm looking forward to the show opening.
We wish you well through the rehearsal process.
Thank you very much.
Awesome. And thank you, as always, to Mark Hunt for composing the music for the Playhouse podcast. For more ticket information, please visit us at thousandislandsplayhouse.com. See you at the theater!